Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind. Starting off this program with a little engineering mishap, which now we're re-engineering so you could hear it. It could be a little confusing at the beginning, but stay with us, friends. You're going to enjoy this program. Suddenly, The Positive Mind didn't come on here, and you didn't notice it, and my engineers didn't notice it here, and so there we were, and you might have gotten scared. You might have said, something's wrong. You know, well, that's what happens to people nowadays. Something's wrong. Is something wrong? Get scared. We spent this week trying to teach you how to deal with fear, especially the unconscious fears that are engendered by today's political and global environment. The fears that you're told to have, the scares that are thrown up, the presence of military forces. Now, just to review, on Monday and Tuesday, we presented you with two pieces of information. One is that people experience fear differently. Not everybody feels fear the same way. Some people are more frightened than other people. Thinking types of people tend to be more frightened than emotional types of people, believe it or not, because they ruminate. It runs around in their mind. And yesterday, Roberta Atti and I spoke about fear on a level of what happens, the difference between the body and the mind, and presenting some of the work of William James, who kind of brought to mind that the way it works is you have a reaction in your body, some kind of fear reaction, an animal, a human. Something is scary. Boom, it happens in your body first. Then you start thinking about it and you create a thought. So now you attach the thought and then you get attached to the thought. So if you could, we concluded, and those two programs are available to you, by the way. I think they're very valuable. If you're somebody who lives with a lot of fear, get those two programs by calling my office. But what we've got to is, if you have fear, you have two elements of it. One is your mind. One is your body. Your mind is when you think about it. Worry, concern, obsession, rumination. That's your mind. Your body. Fast pulses, upset stomach, a number of things that are symptoms of fear, profuse sweating. So now here comes the question. How do you mitigate fear? How do you get rid of fear? How do you take fear and reduce it? What do you do? One of the solutions we know, we meaning me and my associates, who work with me and people in the field of psychology, is to try to get a person out of the obsessive loop of their mind. Try to get them to stop thinking about it so much. And how do you get them to then calm down? Right? How many times have you seen somebody so frightened you just couldn't stop them? A drowning person. You try to save a drowning person, they're likely to punch you. Because they're in panic, and they're in a panic frenzy, and they're imagining all kinds of frantic things. You got to get them to calm down to save their lives. Well, people who are in fear, in acute fear, are very often like somebody being chased by a tiger. You know, they're in this acute place, and their mind is running like crazy in fear. One of the things we hope to do is to reconnect a person away from their mind, back to the sensations that are taking place in the body that are part of the fear cycle. We find that if we could get you to focus on the sensations on your body, then you could talk to your body. And you could say to your body, okay, kitty, I see, you know, the lightning bolt goes off. You automatically tell yourself, calm down. Well, if something scares you and you suddenly get very jittery and your mind takes over and you say, oh, there's danger coming from around the corner. Somebody's going to walk in and hit me. Like this morning, walking into my building, I saw a man who said, I'm putting a double lock on the door. I'm wrapping chains around the doorknobs at night. Because you never know. He's living in fear. One of the, he's a respectable guy. I mean, he's, I'm so surprised. Double chains on the doors because you never know what happens at night. So how do you get out of this? And the way out of it, we found, is to get away from the thoughts of fear into the feelings in the body. Now, here's a problem. In this society, it pays most people to get away from the feelings in their body. Most people are trying to get themselves away from what they feel because it's a society that kind of rewards a thinking person. So whereas a person will think and they'll figure things out, society says, let's give that person money. So you get the better job if you think well, if you're deeply emotional and incredibly tuned into your body, you get a job as a dancer, right? But if you're not tuned into your body and you're tuned into your mind, then, you know, we could put you in finance. We can make you a banker. We could have you vote in New York with your favorite party. We could do anything, but it's your mind that is cherished. Even as children, you're taught to get away from the functions of your body and take control over them and not feel them so much. Even as a child, you're taught, don't feel that. Ignore it. Get away from it. Think about it. Well, that's good. That works for a while. But now, as adults, you want to be able to tune back. You want to be going away from this desensitized human being to a human being who could both think and feel, who could have full access to all of the senses of your body and your thinking as well, who doesn't have to be frightened and on automatic, but somebody who can be aware of situations, take necessary cautions, and speak to yourself so that you could speak to your own body, celebrate it on one hand, and tell it to calm down on the other, and it will respond. Question is, how do we get to your feelings in your body? So many of you are dead by now. Numb. Alexithymia. Alexithymia, very interesting syndrome. It's a neurological syndrome, and it means a person can't feel. And it's a physiological, I mean, it's a biological phenomena. I've taken it and I use it emotionally. People who can't feel emotionally, but they also can't feel physically. If you find yourself somebody who is numb sexually, right, you've kind of gone dead, and you wonder what's happening, what's happened to me, numb. If you find yourself eating food, and you have no idea of how you're processing it, you're just kind of gulping down food, and you don't feel the satiation point, numb. If you find you can't cry, numb. If you find yourself depressed, numb. Isn't it interesting that the person who is the most numb becomes the person who counts the most beans, which makes you a number? I love to play with words. Anyway, let's get back to this thing. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, in case you just tuned in. And we're going to talk to you about how to retune with your body. And in order to do that today, how do you tune into your body? I've taken one of my associates here from the DeMille Center, a person who has worked with me for a number of months now, and I've been watching the results of her work, Alexandra Smith, first time with WBAI. Alexandra, welcome to the station.
Hi, thank you, Armand.
Alexandra, this is what you do.
Yes, it is.
You help people through a number of things. Now, Alexandra is both a hypnotist doing guided relaxations, internal journeys, and she's a very qualified licensed clinical social worker, psychotherapist as well. So you wear both hats. Most hypnotists I've ever seen were amateurs. They don't have any licenses of any kind. They don't really understand the human mind. They understand how to induce people, get people to into a trance, but they don't know what they're doing. They do it with a lot of risk, What I love about your work is you have both hats that you could wear. Let's start with this one about tuning people into their body, because I know, Alexandra, when I see people and I see that they're alienated from their physical or corporeal selves, I'll say what you need is to get tuned in, and the person I will recommend the most is you.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so let's talk about it. How does it happen, and how do you tune people back into their body, or what's this about, or just talk to me about it.
Well, you're absolutely correct, Armand. A lot of people do walk around in their mind. And in hypnosis, I believe that we have a conscious mind and a subconscious mind. And it's in trying to create a balance between the conscious and the subconscious. So in hypnosis, if you're out of touch with your feelings and your emotions, I work through several different processes. There's one process where when I work with a client who perhaps has had a trauma or has experienced something unpleasant in their body, in a very safe and relaxed way, I work with them to feel their body. And it's really interesting. I will actually start at the top of their head and ask them to feel the inside and the outside of their scalp and their hair. And I work all the way down in the body, behind the eyes and in front of the eyes. And then what's so interesting is many people find in the throat area a little bit of discomfort. And I believe that's because it's the bridge between the mind and the body.
Now, this is the process of what you get to, and this is how you do it. Now, in order to do this, you can't just say, tell me what you feel, because you get to ask people, tell me what you feel. Anybody listening out there right now, what do you feel on the top of your scalp? What do you feel in your toes? You're going to say, oh, I'm aware of, I could feel, and you'd barely be aware of it. A person who is tuned into their bodies, trained, would be aware every second. You could be aware of everything that you feel at every minute. What you're talking about is the process of once you get a person to the point where they are willing to do it. A lot of people don't want to feel anything.
That's true.
So you're already at the point where you've got them there, because they're willing to feel the inside and the outside, and then they're going to go down through the throat. So I understand there's a thing in there. But how do you get people to be willing to talk about what they feel physiologically if they can't feel it, Alexandra?
Well, I also believe that if someone makes the first step to come in to see me, that on some level they really want the help. So I work with that knowledge that they really do want to feel. So that's where I begin. And then through a process of talking, and they'll tell me maybe an issue that they're having, whether perhaps they need to relax, what I do is find out how they relax now, or do they relax, and how do they communicate? Do they relax through drinking? Do they relax through going out and partying? Or do they read a book? How are they associating with the world? And then in going deep inside, in the trance process, the more aware you are of the feelings in your body, when you come out of the trance, we then explore them.
Wait, all of a sudden we're in a trance. How do you get a trance? Is that through voodoo?
No.
I'm only kidding.
Through voodoo, yes. That would be terrifying.
I think you should say what you do, you know.
It's what we do is I start as a hypnotist. I start with a beginning of a trance induction where I talk about how you're breathing and how you're sitting and how you're relaxing in the chair. And through that, people begin to relax and they begin to deepen into the experience. And I can tell by the way people are sitting and by the way their body is moving how much further they need to go down. And then I continue along those lines of what they're hearing, and I go from the outside, what they're hearing and feeling, to maybe a place inside their body that's more relaxed and more comfortable. And then we begin the work of trying to feel your body.
So this is a process where I think people just got for a moment, because I've had the experience with you, where there is something about your lyrical voice that invites a person to relax. Now, you're a trained hypnotist. You take people into a trance. Is a trance unconscious?
It's interesting. I explain a trance state very simply by saying, for those listeners out there who drive a car, or even if you just walk down the street, I use the image of a car. So you're driving in a car, and the sun's coming in on the dashboard, and you might see out of the side of your one eye the trees passing, and you see a yellow line, and, you know, you relax in the car, and you're driving, and all of a sudden you've missed your exit. That's a trance state. So most of us have been in a trance state, we just don't know it.
I always thought a trance state was Connecticut. A trance state is kind of a place where your mind is suspended.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what's important about it, because in order to deal with fear, people need to suspend their minds, the activity of their minds, and they can't do it. They need a vehicle. They need something.
Yes.
And what you have is this training and the power of this voice of yours to take people on a journey,
mm-hmm.
and they're willing to go. Everybody loves it.
Yes, they
know?
Do.
You've gotten people, you've been very successful with weight loss, hasn't that?
I have,
this very
yes.
thing. How does, and there's so much of this I'm curious about, how does weight loss and body awareness relate? Are people who are usually out in trouble with their weight out of touch with their bodies?
Absolutely, yes, because what's full? When's the last time you felt full? When's the last time your body actually told you what to eat? You know, how many people wake up in the morning and say, ooh, spinach? But if you really listen to your body, you'd say, what do I really need for my body today? I think I need some fruits and vegetables. I think I need some grains. This is what sustains us, not, you know, French fries and things like that. So when our body talks to us and we listen, we eat appropriately for ourselves. And so what I do with my weight loss clients is help them to listen to their body. And it sometimes, you know, let's say you go to a party and you're a little bit anxious. Well, through hypnosis, I can help you become less anxious in that party situation where out of anxiety you might grab for something. You might just be happy being with yourself. And I've had, or family times, you know, that can be very stressful. We go to a big family reunion, and there's lots of food. Well, I was working with a client once who was very scared about going to family reunion. She said, it's all about the food. And so I said, you know, let's think about this. Is a family reunion about the food, or is a family reunion about love? It's about reconnecting with our family, our blood, who we are. And she said, wow. And she came back from the family reunion, and she said, you know, I spent so much time enjoying my family, I didn't overeat. So, and also, I think from childhood, we're taught as children, clean your plates. That's being good. Or, you know, I know a lot of families, you know, Italian families, you know, here, mangia, have some more. More means more love. Well, more does not really mean more love. It just means more.
Well, my question to you was, people who eat a lot of food, who have trouble with weight control, are they out of touch with their bodies? Now, the object of the program today is to try to get people to feel, be aware of their bodies. So I'm saying, do you think that there's a consequence? Because, you know, there's a lot of people who are out of touch with their bodies and who don't have a weight problem.
Correct.
Although in America, everybody has a weight problem, right? If you're not,
or they're thinking about it, at least.
If you're not 90 pounds, you're overweight. You know, I mean, everybody's got to kind of keep a trim that's always in their minds. Almost everybody. But a lot of people don't feel anything.
And that's true.
And do you find that people who are overweight feel more than everybody else in their bodies or less?
I think I would have to say less. From my experience, they feel less. Or they don't even listen to it.
Funny, because you would think of them as sensualists. Because they take in the sensuality of the food and they're taking
more in.
Okay, so this is Armand DeMille. We're talking with Alexandra Smith. We're talking about a way of dealing with fear, a and we're introducing the subject of hypnosis. There's a reason why you don't hear much about hypnosis on radio and television, because a lot of it is like a parlor trick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there is a method of using hypnosis, which I've done and I've been trained in when I was younger, which I used in my pioneering work in working with multiple personality disorder. It was the only way I found of effecting a cure as opposed to just maintenance. Multiple personality disorder is an order of dissociation. It's a disorder of dissociation, which means it's a disorder of people who are kind of leaving themselves and walking around in trance states while other people occupy their bodies, different personalities. A multiple personality will have 4, 5, 6, 10 different personalities in a trance-like state. So the only way to get access to the other personalities would have been, or the only way I found, was through hypnosis. And once I did that, or as I would do that, I would be able to bring up each character within a personality. So I did that work for a number of years. I have a great respect for the field, and I also have a great disrespect for the field, because nobody I knew who was a hypnotist would discriminate and say, the people I will work with, who I find hypnosis is effective with, and the people I will not work with. Here, I like you're wearing the two hats.
Mm-hmm.
You wear the hat of the psychiatric professional who can do psychotherapy and help guide people from a psychological point of view, and you can also wear the hat of hypnosis, which may have nothing to do with going into the inner workings of the mind and working with deeper disturbance. How do you discriminate? Who will you work with using hypnosis? Who will you not work with?
Well, my personal experience is that I won't work with someone who is schizoid or delusional, nor will I work with someone who dissociates from their body. That's not a place where I'm comfortable working with people.
All right. And when you say, well, you tell me, when you mean somebody who's delusional, what do you mean?
Someone who...
I mean, I'm delusional.
Well, someone who might think that they're being followed or that they're not. People who have thoughts that maybe they are somebody that they're not. Maybe, you know, we've all heard people who say, you know, I'm the President of the United States or I'm Jesus Christ. I am not comfortable working with people who might have these kinds of delusions about themselves.
And hallucinations, I'm sure, right?
Even correct.
Auditory hallucinations or visual hallucinations goes into that area where you don't feel comfortable working
exactly.
with that. I'm sure there is somebody who does work with mm-hmm. that, doing hypnosis, but that's not an area.
No, it's not my area of expertise.
Where else?
And I think also, well, I haven't ever worked with someone who dissociates. I think that that's an area that I'm not comfortable working with. I think it might need a higher level of care than I feel qualified to give them.
Ooh, I love you saying that. Alexandra Smith, thank you very much. That's very good. Hypnosis, such an interesting thing because, you know, in a way, what we're looking to do is to de-hypnotize ourselves. We have hypnotized ourselves into a state of numbness. We have, in effect, hypnotized ourselves into a place where we can no longer feel what happens in our bodies and instead have replaced it with our thinking process. So you get frightened, my friends, and you get frightened in your body and then you can't feel it really. So your body is unconsciously feeling this fear. Unconsciously, it recognizes your stomach is going, your blood is boiling, and stuff is going on. Your mind takes over and says, ah, there's a policeman over there with a gun. That's what's scaring me. It must be dangerous. Ah, there's a lock on a door. It must be dangerous. And your mind is observing now. And now you whip yourself into a frenzy of thoughts about what danger is. And now you're scared. Now you're caught in your own hypnosis. Because you've moved away from, you've desensitized your body. So people, I believe, like in the Matrix, you know, people have hypnotized themselves to a point where they can't feel. Many people can't even feel emotions. No emotions, no body sensations, relative numbness, you know, they can only feel the extremes. You know, give me a lot of something and I could feel it, but not the nuances of feelings. So people are numb, and then what they do is they It's a form of hypnosis to disconnect from your body. Now you're a thinker. See, now you're thinking and you're getting through the world thinking and you meet other thinkers and everybody talks to everybody in a thinking kind of way. How many of you out there would love to be with people who are not thinking so much, who could just relax and be who they are and be present? Well, it's hard to find. It's hard to find people like that. So you know what people do? They go get massages. They go somewhere where they could get touched and they could feel what's happening in their body, or they go to nail salons where the person doesn't speak a language just so they could get quiet inside. So we're desperately searching for a quietude, a silence, a feeling sense. We don't know how to do it. In order to beat fear, one of the primary goals is going to have to be to learn to identify your feelings and to get over whatever fear you have of the sensations in your body and the emotional feelings you have, and that's what Alexandra does. Alexandra will step you through that a little at a time through her sing-song voice, which, I don't know, Alexandra. How do you do that? I mean, it's such, I would never expect it of you, and then all of a sudden you just start your relaxation and you say, go ahead, give me 1 minute of your introduction.
Minute. Go ahead. All right. So, listeners, just imagine wherever you are right now. I don't know where you are, if you're standing or if you're sitting. I don't know if the lights are on or if the lights are off, but I do know that you're aware of my voice now. And with my voice, you probably are aware of the way you're breathing in and out and in and out. And as you continue to breathe, you might feel your feet on the ground or wherever they are. And maybe you're aware, if you're sitting or standing, what your environment is. And you're probably also aware of a place inside you that's getting more and more relaxed now. And as that awareness grows, and you're breathing in and out, and in and out, and then I just continue along like that.
I was going, you had me. I was going, you know what I got worried about? I got worried about people who are driving cars.
Yes, exactly. I was thinking that.
Were you thinking that?
I was. I thought, I hope if it's a taxi driver, he's stuck at a red light right now.
Hey, it's Alexandra Smith. Really remarkable, by the way, if you want to reach her. It's at 212-757-4488. We're going to take a short break. We're going to play a little music. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Alexandra Smith about using hypnosis as a way of reconnecting with your body.
Okay, stand by music. Very good, Armand. I'm bringing it up right now.
Thank you.
time. I ain't gonna pull no comb. I pick no more cotton. I declare I ain't gonna pull no comb. That's the way it is, my friends. That's indigo spirit. Indigo spirit. No more cotton. See, that's what I think happens to us. I think in order to get to the point where you had people where they would behave in certain ways, like pick cotton and pulling corn and not thinking about it, you had to kill their bodies. You had to kill their feelings. You had to make sure they couldn't feel anything. In order for you to wake up, in order for you to be alive, you've got to shut that brain of yours off, because this is what the world convinced you to do. They convinced you to disown your own body. They convinced you to disown what you feel. And that's how you could pick the cotton and pull the corn. So my personal statement is, you know, I'm hoping everybody gets to that point where they say, okay, I'm willing to wake up. You know, the only way to make your dreams come true is to wake up. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're talking about fear, and we're talking about this kind of engendering of fear that takes place in the world all over. And we're talking about reconnecting with yourself through your body, and that how that will have this incredible effect on you, so that you won't be rendered powerless by fear, you know? Because it's all in your mind. Think about your love problems. You know, guaranteed, almost all love problems, all these love obsessions, is about fear. It's about fear. It's about what your mind does. Imagine if you could just settle in. You know why people like vacations? They vacate. You go to a beach. You lay down on a beach. You vacate. What do you vacate? Your mind. You leave it vacant. You see? So when you're laying on a beach and you're suddenly sitting there, and even if you're under an umbrella or you're going swimming in the ocean, summertime, vacate, vacant mind. You do that long enough, you come back, you say, wow, that was a wonderful time I had. Too bad I had to return to reality. Well, unfortunately, my friend, the reality is when you vacated. You see, that's where reality is. Reality is where you could be yourself. Too bad you had to come back to unreality. But you got to learn to take yourself with you. Now, if you take your body with you, and you take your mind with you, and you take your heart with you, and your soul with you everywhere you go, you're on vacation. You're having a good time. My guest in the studio, Alexandra Smith, teaching us about hypnosis, the process of hypnosis. It's a powerful process. She's amazingly effective. Separating it from psychotherapy, right? I mean, you do hypnosis, you do psychotherapy, and then you do hypnosis plus psychotherapy, right?
Correct, yes. When I work with, like, the, you know, with smoking and with weight loss, it's mainly pure hypnosis. But I also work with a lot of clients who have anxiety and stress and depression. And what I'll do is a combination of both. We'll talk about it for several sessions, and then we'll go into a trance state. And what's so interesting is what they find out from their trance state. I will guide them into an area that might be of discomfort for them, and we do it in a very safe way. And then when they come up, we process it. And the process can take 2 or 3 sessions. It's not just 10 minutes afterwards. And oftentimes, the effects of hypnosis can take weeks. And I've had some people say to me, wow, 5 days later, I call them pop-up videos. I had a pop-up video of something that happened in the trance state, And we'll talk about it in the next session. So people, it's very lasting. It's not just for the 45 minutes that we're together or however long the trance lasts. It continues with you because it's a place that you've gone and it will always be with you.
It is certainly, the way I've seen you do it, the most profound, deep relaxation that people probably can ever experience. You know, I mean, it's such an intense thing without having somebody touching you and taking you through. And, you know, it's like an incredible sense to have your mind take yourself into this wonderful place where you feel protected and safe. And, of course, if you wanted to go fetch, if you wanted to fetch a memory that you couldn't have, this is the way to do it.
Exactly.
People forget about things, right? I know somebody who has a fear of large dogs. Right? Hypnosis, and doesn't really understand where that fear comes from.
Exactly. And through a process of hypnosis, we can find out, was it a childhood trauma that perhaps you've forgotten about? I know with this particular person that she wasn't sure when it had happened, but it had been lasting effects through her life. And the thing is, sometimes large dogs are scary. So it's not to say, don't be afraid of all dogs. It's to, how can I reason with my fear so that it doesn't take me to a place where I can't function? And I think that that's the difference. Because, you know, there are large dogs that perhaps you shouldn't walk up to without checking with the owners first. So it's not saying after a hypnosis you're going to embrace all large dogs. It's saying that you might now be able to walk down a street and be able to walk past a dog and feel that you are okay.
Deep hypnosis, hard to get to. A lot of people say they can never be hypnotized. Have you had that experience with people?
I have not had anybody who hasn't been able to go into a hypnotic trance. There are different levels of hypnotic trances. Sometimes people will remember everything that I've said, and sometimes people don't remember anything that I've said, and that's both fine because your subconscious will remember, and that's who I'm talking to. I'm talking to your subconscious, and your conscious mind can do whatever your conscious mind wants to do. It's the subconscious mind that I'm addressing.
Well, wait, once in a while, Alexander, haven't you run into anybody? I know you're very good at what you do, but haven't you run into anybody who just calls you up a week later and says, you know, it's just not right for me. I don't feel like I could go into that place.
I've had a couple of clients not want to return. They were able to get into a hypnotic trance, but for some reason their anxiety or whatever their problem is, they're not ready to let go of it yet. And so we weren't able to address, because I believe that every bad behavior has a positive intention.
Let's talk about that for a minute. I've heard you say that before. Every bad behavior has a positive intention. This is going to help me understand my government better. Go for it.
Go for it. Well, getting back to the weight loss, a lot of times people will eat out of anxiety. They eat out of stress. So what the intention is to make yourself feel more comfortable. The intention is to make yourself feel I can fit in. Or there are lots of others. These are just a couple of ideas. So what I work with is that's a positive intention. You're protecting yourself.
Okay. I got to challenge you.
Okay.
Every bad behavior has a positive intention.
Mm-hmm.
Exploiting the elderly for their money.
Well, then you would have to sit down and find out
where's the
positive intention. The positive intention might be that this person knows no other way to make money. And so what they really want to do is to make money. But they don't know anything else because they have not been trained to do anything else. There's so many reasons, but that could be one.
Abusing a child.
Well, it could be that you want that child to react in a way that you want them to, and you don't know another alternative.
So, you know, now what I'm hearing here, I'm hearing Alexandra Smith, who spent her adolescence and adulthood working in the prisons. right? When did you first start working in the prison?
I started working in prisons.
When you were four, right?
No, I was 19. They wouldn't let me in under 18. I was volunteering in a prison in Virginia, and I really enjoyed working with the people because I believe that everybody needs a chance. I also believe that if something failed in order for them to get where they are, a system failed, a parent, a guardian, someone failed, I can't fail them now. That would just be one more person who failed them, and I can't let that happen to them.
So you stuck with them because...
I believe that they, if they want, they are able to change.
You know, we have every now and then somebody comes by the DeMille Center who's got criminal behavior on their mind. I mean, and they, you know, and they're kind of stuck in it. And you know what I do? Send them to Alexandra. I know it's the one place where, you know, you're not going to get frightened by what you see. You know, you're not going to get frightened by it, and you feel you offer a certain kind of acceptance. And that I think is beautiful. It's nice to see. Let's go back to the hypnosis just for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
In hypnosis, a person can learn to hypnotize themselves?
Correct. Correct.
Is that the goal?
It could be one of the goals. What I like to do in the sessions is work with them for a few sessions, and then I begin to train them to do a self-hypnosis. Now, you can always get deeper. You can always go somewhere further when you have someone guiding. So when I guide you, you'll be able to go someplace that perhaps you couldn't go on your own. But when I'm working with people for smoking or for specific reasons, I teach them how to do it themselves so that if they have the urge, if they have that feeling, they can get back into it themselves. And that's one of the tools that I help people with.
When you teach a person to hypnotize themselves, mm-hmm. do you give them a thing like, you know, press your forefinger and your pinky together or bite your ear?
I think biting your ear would be really difficult.
For some
people. I wouldn't do that for anybody. But in lieu of that, there's ways that you can teach people. There's one where I'll ask them to focus on an object about 3 feet in front of them. And then we do a series of, you know, if you're not afraid of stairs or heights, I'll ask them to walk down the stairs. And then there's a process that goes along with this. And by the end, their eyes are closed and they've been able to find a place of peace within themselves.
So you train people to find that piece of place.
Exactly. The piece of place.
A pizza place.
The pizza place.
How do you
not if you're here for weight loss.
How do you find the pizza place? This is Armand DeMille, by the way. And we're talking about fear, believe it or not, my friends. And to find the place of peace inside yourself, such an important tool. Because if you could do that, if you could find that, then they can't get you. They just can't get you. I was working with someone named Gordhammer. What was his first name? Soren Gordhammer. And he was working in the prisons, Alexandra.
Mm-hmm.
And he was working with teenagers in prison.
Mm.
Or whatever they're in. Was that a halfway house or, you know, corrections home or whatever they call it. And he would teach them. Now, they're rough kids, right? And they're all rough and they're all muscle building. And they're all working with weights and they have tattoos and they're, you know, killing each other. And he taught them the power of meditation. And he said to them, he would say to them, I want to show you a power so great that it's better than lifting 500 pounds. And they would say, what is this? And he says, let me show you this. I'm going to show you a place where you could go that nobody can get control of you. Those are the words he used. He said, I'm going to show you a place where if somebody wants to get you angry, you don't have to get angry. He said, the way you are right now, if somebody wants to get you angry, you just say, your mama, you know, and you're going to go get mad at them.
No, you're right.
He says, I'm going to show you a place where you could take your mind where no one has power over you, no one has control over you, where you have control over yourself. Well, I mean, now this sounds crazy. It's like you're empowering somebody who is already in some way vicious. Well, they learned this internal work, and they began to relax. And suddenly, in this prison that he was working in, the weights started disappearing. And what was taking its place were mats, you know, where people were just meditating, and they were finding that beauty. So it's such a terrific power to be able to call inside yourself and find this space inside yourself that it's almost a sin not to get access to it. It's almost by that, I mean, you know, it's like, eh, what a pity. What a pity. What a pity to be able to be run on automatic all the time. And if you're a thinking person who cannot feel what goes on inside of you, or you feel too much, either way is a way of not feeling. Overfeeling or underfeeling, both are ways of being numb. Overreacting all the time, that's not being a feeling person. It's overreacting. And feeling nothing is a way of not feeling. So we're with Alexandra Smith, who teaches you how to go in through the feelings in your body to a place where you can find this kind of absolute quiet.
Well, it is an absolute quiet. It's also a place where your intuition is. And I think a lot of us go on what other people tell us. And what's nice is when you can find that stillness and the quiet within yourself, your intuition begins to speak to you. And your intuition is what guides you. And your intuition is what helps you make decisions. And those, I believe, are the right decisions.
Intuition meaning a voice. You know, a lot of people, as they start to relax, they have voices come up immediately which would get them to not relax anymore. It's just another obsessive voice. How do you distinguish between an obsessive inner voice and an intuitive voice?
I distinguish if it's an obsessive voice, then the person's not going to be relaxed with it, and they're going to have some kind of anxiety around it. Intuition feels right, and even if you're more mental, you can tell the difference, and they tend to be better answers. So I think people that use this for their intuition, it works very well in businesses. People who have really good intuition in businesses, chances are they're in tune with themselves. A lot of times when people hear the chatter inside, it's chatter from childhood, or it's a chatter from an advertisement or something like that. And it's very much more on the surface. And that it can come up more quickly in a session. What comes up later in a session is your intuition.
And to be able to tune in is a very, very important thing, because, again, intuition is not paranoia. You know, paranoia is a thinking process. We are alert and always watching and tense. Intuition is a deeply relaxed inner voice of wisdom that kind of pops up, comes through you, and it doesn't bring tension with it. People I know have used it for horse races. You know, I mean, they just say, well, let me just see what I could get, because what happens is you want to get away from the fluff. You want to get away from all of these things. Like if you go into a vitamin store and they have all of these words everywhere telling you to take this pill and take that pill and take this pill and take that pill, somewhere there is something that tells you this product is right, but you're being flooded with so much information it's hard to distinguish.
That's exactly it, and that's going back to listening to your body. Your body knows what it needs. You know, if you're craving a fruit or a vegetable, chances are it's the vitamins and minerals in that fruit and vegetable your body needs. So, you know, the case that you bring up of going into a drugstore or supermarket and seeing all these things, if you have the intuition, chances are you might pull out the right thing for your body, or you'll turn to, you know, eating correctly.
So you mean then some people would wake up and say, I think I'll have some spinach today.
I do sometimes.
Popeye did,
and look at him.
All right. So just other things just very quickly, because we only have a moment. Mm-hmm. Another thing that hypnosis deals with is hypnosis has been converted into another form called neurolinguistic programming, which I know they don't call a conversion, but I see it as a conversion. And in that, dealing specifically with, and we only have a minute to do it, post-traumatic stress disorder, I want to talk about that. Nothing seems to be more effective. A person has a trauma in their lives, and they want to get over it. How do you use hypnosis or NLP? Can you do that in 2 minutes?
In 2 minutes. I'll give you the short form. What neurolinguistic programming and or hypnosis can do is to help you go through that situation again with a different outcome. And it can help you to realize that you are safe now. While you were going through that trauma, you did not feel safe. But when you're with me, you are safe.
Let's start it. Okay, my trauma is I fell off a bridge and I lost my arm.
You fell off a bridge and you lost your arm.
Okay, now that's my trauma. I come to see you and now you say I'm going to give you a different outcome. You fall off the bridge, I still lose my arm.
Right, you still lose your arm. But you're safe right now.
What I'm dealing with is the fear and the traumatic reaction that I wasn't safe. And I carried that with me.
Correct.
And post-traumatic stress disorder is the belief that you are still in danger.
Right. And so what I would do is work with that person and actually go back into the experience with them and discover what were they telling themselves at the time. And then go through the situation again with them and experience that, knowing now that perhaps they've lost an arm, which is traumatizing. I'm not going to say that that's not, but that they, their body, the rest of their body is now safe. And there's specific techniques and things.
Which we've got to get into someday when we have a little more time. Alexandra, thank you so much
for being
with us. Sure. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're talking about fear all week. If you wanted to get a copy of today's program, you would call 212-757-4488. If you want to get in touch with Alexandra Smith, it's the same thing, 212-757-4488. I forgot to mention yesterday that the program with Roberta Atti is also available. So these things on fear, if you have somebody in your life who's frightened and running scared around this time, have them listen in or at least get them a copy of these programs, 212-757-4488. I'll be back with you on Tuesday, my friends, at 1 p.m. My special thanks to all my friends out there. Email armand@brainlink.com.